When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Extra Time with me, Liam Horobin. Episode 20, maybe? Maybe 19, somewhere around there. Either way, thank you very much for listening. As always, Extra Time with Liam Horobin is presented by Betway. 19 plus, please bet responsibly. Hope you're all doing well. It has been a couple of weeks since we spoke. I've got to get in a better rhythm of this. I think we're in one now. I think I know what I got to do. So we should be good. International break just happened, hasn't it? So no Premier League football to talk about. But actually, that's a lie. We do have a little bit of Premier League football to talk about later on. I'll give you a rundown of what we're going to do today. So obviously, we're going to talk about England, what they got up to over this past week. 1-1 draw against Ukraine and then battering the Scots in Scotland, which is an Englishman. It's always lovely to see. Always lovely to see. It was a very good match, actually, the other day. What day was that? Tuesday, I think it was. Lots of talking points there. Obviously, the result in Poland, not Ukraine. What happened in Scotland and how England played. And then, obviously, every time we talk about England, we have to talk about Harry Maguire, good or bad. This one's a bit of both, I think. But I think it's we'll get to it. And then The Athletic. I'm sure many of you are familiar with The Athletic. Released some voting things, I guess you could say, polls. We'll call them polls of best sign-in of the summer transfer window, worst sign-in. There was other ones too, like who had the best transfer window. Is the Saudi league good or bad? What else was there? Managers in trouble. There's one other one too. I can't remember off the top of my head. But when we get to that, that'll be later on in the show. And then we'll round out the show with our Premier League predictions this weekend, courtesy of Betway. So I'll give out my 10 predictions for the week, or weekend, I guess you could say. No Friday night game this week, though. They've took that one off, probably because it's internationals, I would assume. But yeah, anyway, let's get on with the show. First place we're going to go. England versus Ukraine, 1-1 in Poland. I believe it was in Warsaw, is that where it was? Let's have a quick peek here. Yes. I think that's it's in Polish. I would assume that's Warsaw, just from my brief understanding of Poland. But anyway, 1-1 there in the Euro qualifiers. Zinchenko opens up the scoring for Ukraine. Kyle Walker, first international goal for England. Good finish, too, to his credit. Very nice goal from the England right back there. Let's see how many games he's played for England. I believe he's got to be up there for England now. 78, so he played against Scotland too, so that would have been his 77th game for England, gets his first goal, great ball from Harry Kane right over the top. Harry Kane basically at halfway as a striker, which is just crazy and makes him, I think, the best striker in the world is his versatility and what he's able to do, and that pass to Kyle Walker was a great example of what Harry Kane's all about, and then of course he goes and bangs home a goal against Scotland. I mean, there's not many strikers in the world that can do that. Harry Kane's uniqueness is incredible. Arguably England's best striker ever, probably. Actually, not probably. I think he definitely is England's best striker ever. And England have had a lot of good strikers. Wayne Rooney, obviously. Gary Lineker. Jeff Hurst, hat-trick in the World Cup final, 1966. Sir Jeff Hurst, my apologies. Anyways, England, Ukraine, fair to say England fans were extremely disappointed with the result, and as an English fan, I was disappointed because I think in these qualifiers, England are expected to win every match. And as a nation that they are, being fourth in the world now, I believe, they should probably be winning every game they play. Just to review England's group, it's England, Italy, Ukraine, North Macedonia, and Malta. And if you keep up with the England national team, you know England have had a pretty good run in the in the Euro qualifying so far. 2-1 win over Italy, 2-0 win over Ukraine at Wembley, beat Malta 4-0, beat North Macedonia 7-0 in the last one, and then of course a 1-1 draw. England have only allowed two goals. Two goals only for England, and it's been a good run for them. England are a very good football team, and I think that's what disappointed people in this result. It's nothing to take away from Ukraine. It's just England have the firepower to beat a match pretty much every team in the world, right? And then you look at it, and you look at the team that play. Let's have a quick review of the starting 11 here. Pickford in goal, obviously. Back four of Chilwell, Mark Gahey, Harry Maguire, Kyle Walker, who's a goal scorer, as we mentioned. Then you have Declan Rice, Jordan Henderson as your deep lying midfielders, I guess you could call them. Jude Bellingham in the middle, and then Saka, Madison on the wings. Harry Kane up front. You'd think that team would be able to score more than one goal against a Ukrainian team, which is good but not great. Good but not great. They play with a lot of spirit, and they play very hard. There was a lot of players on that Ukraine team that you could see were trying to get a result there, and to their credit, they fully deserve the point they got. They could have probably won that game. Looking through the stats here, England had 68% possession, did have an expected goals of 1.34. Now, if you remember watching that game, Saka did hit the bar on, what was it, probably around between 50, 60 minutes. That's when I went over to Betway and placed a bet on England to come back and win. It didn't work. That's all right. The only thing I'm kind of questioning in this game, though, was Gareth Southgate's usage of his bench. And now this is something that bugged me a little bit with Southgate, especially over this break. And so he brings on Rashford, Foden, and then Conor Gallagher at the 86th minute. So the first sub came at 65. You could kind of see the England team didn't have much flow in the first half. They weren't able to generate a lot. I don't think Saka actually played that good, despite hitting the crossbar. I maybe would have taken him off. Madison wasn't too effective either. I feel like these substitutions should have happened a lot earlier in the match. And Saka went off in the 86th minute for Conor Gallagher. I mean, what are you really going to get from Conor Gallagher in the 86th minute onwards? Good player. I don't know if he's good enough to be an impactful bench player with that little time left in the game. Rashford for Madison. Rashford comes on. He actually played okay, I suppose. But taking off Jude Bellingham and keeping Jordan Henderson on the pitch in a match you're trying to win just seems silly to me. No? Am I the only one that kind of thinks so? I'm not sure. Jude Bellingham is absolutely world-class. Probably England's most informed player at the moment in the world. Obviously, he's been absolutely dominant for Real Madrid. And I just think his ability to impact the game in a split second is something that England need in the team for 90 minutes, unless obviously you're winning and you can take him off and give him a bit of a break. Now, he did bring on Phil Foden for him, who, of course, is also as impactful of a player. But surely there's a way to keep them both on the pitch to have that impact, no? Just seems very silly for England to try and be pushing for a win, but keeping Jordan Henderson on the pitch and substituting Jude Bellingham, didn't like that at all. I actually would have liked to have seen Eze maybe in this match too. He's just a very direct player. I think what I would have done if I was Southgate, which I'm not, unfortunately, would be a lot richer, probably won't be doing this podcast. I would have kept Bellingham on. Probably, do you know what? At that 65th minute, instead of taking off Bellingham, I would have taken off Henderson and maybe brought on a Gallagher, someone like that. Just to, he can be impactful with a little bit more left in the game. Rashford, sure, keep him on, bring him on for Madison. Obviously, can bring a lot of impact. I would have taken off Saka a little bit earlier and put Foden out on the wing there. I would have done that. Eze, obviously, like I said, could have been an impactful sub as well. But overall, a bit disappointing from from Southgate. I think he just needs to put a bit more trust in his younger players. And I understand it's playing away from home in internationals against a half-decent side like Ukraine. I'm not trying to discredit Ukraine by any means. What are they, like 24th best team in the world? They've had some good results over the time too. Either way, you gotta have some belief in these young players because they are the future of the squad at the end of the day. Like when the Euros come around, Eze's probably going to the Euros. No, Foden obviously going to the Euros. I just think those guys need to, especially a guy like Eze, needs to play a bit more of an impactful role. We'll see if that kind of happens. England, no, disappointing. Disappointing result. And I think a lot of frustration was out there. But Simon Jordan said it on TalkSport. He's like, Southgate's job is to get England to the Euro finals. And a 1-1 draw away from home at Ukraine isn't the end of the world. It's not like they went and drew to Malta 1-1. Ukraine, again, half-decent team. You just want to see a little bit more. Back four was strong, though, to their credit. The goal was avoidable. I know a lot of people were kind of questioning what Harry Maguire was doing. I get it. It looks like he starts marking his man, but if you watch it, he is trying to follow his man and just gets miscommunication there between him and Mark Gahey, who to their defense haven't played a lot together. Midfielder didn't come back and track Zinchenko very well there, did he? I think it's more on them than Harry Maguire. So overall, England got to be a bit better.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On to England's second match of the international break. Was the 150th anniversary, I think it was. Yeah, that seems right. Of England versus Scotland. Although a friendly, not very friendly, especially to start the match. I'll be honest, when I was watching it, the Scottish fans did, they intimidated me a little bit. I did think Scotland were going to be able to get a bit of a good result here, but England's pure quality took over, I guess you could say. But either way, we'll start from the top. The anthems were special. I think it's always good when the fans really get into it. And if you ever watch rugby, it's similar for that when everyone sings the anthem. And England football has got a lot better at it, but I remember maybe 20 years ago now, there was not a lot of people would sing along with the anthem. But now it seems to be a bit more prideful because the team's actually good. So that's really nice. But yes, England-Scotland, England win 3-1. Phil Foden opens a scoring with a nice redirect there. I think that was 100% deliberate from Kyle Walker, who hammered the ball across the box there. And Phil Foden managed to get his foot on it and redirect it into the net. Bellingham scored shortly after. And if you watch that goal from Bellingham, he's the one who started all that play. Managed to get it to two or three other players, touch the ball, and then because of his pure movement, get to the middle of the box, and the ball eventually came to him, and he makes it 2-0 England, and does his now famous celebration, I guess you could say, of sticking his arms out straight. Quite simple, really. At least it's not like the Robbie Keane one where trying to do the back roll and all that kind of, or the forward roll, or cartwheel, and all that kind of stuff. Then the finger guns. I think he did finger guns. That sounds right. Remember trying doing that once on the playground. Not good. Not good. This one seems more kid-friendly. Harry Maguire, God bless him. Own goal, of course. And then that did not help him online, but we'll get to that one in a little bit. And then Harry Kane finishes off the scoring with another fantastic play from Jude Bellingham. Just dancing through the midfield a little bit. A lot of patience. Shows a bit of deception, looking like he's going to shoot. Plays it through to Harry Kane, who does what Harry Kane does and knocks it in for England to win 3-1. Much better game for England against an informed Scottish team. Beat Spain recently. Who'd they beat? Norway, Cyprus a couple of times, Georgia. It's the first time Scotland have lost in 2023, I believe they said. So, good for England. Knocking off the Scots. Knocking them down a couple of pegs, right? Something like that anyway, but Scotland did all right. It's just not as much quality in the Scottish side, but they've got a lot of pride in them. They actually could have qualified for Euro 2024 if Norway and Georgia had drawn. I believe Norway won that game 2-1. So still in the running there to qualify. They should, and deservedly so. They're in a difficult group as well. Spain, Norway, Georgia, Cyprus. Georgia's on the up. Georgia is on the up, obviously. Kvaratskhelia is guiding them there. Spain, obviously always Spain. Norway with Holland, another team on the up. So Scotland more than likely heading to the Euros. But yes, in this match, England's quality took over. I thought Rashford was good. I don't know. Rashford's one of those players for me that's obviously an excellent footballer, but I always feel like he does stuff that frustrates the crap out of me. Just runs with too many guys at once, and he kind of slows it down a little bit too much. I feel like he's got to facilitate a little bit more. Foden was brilliant. Jude Bellingham was brilliant. Who else was it? Kyle Walker had a very good game. Got that assist, obviously. Harry Kane was Harry Kane. Declan Rice, Calvin Phillips didn't always too much. They just kind of were there. So that's that for that match, I think. Within the game itself, everyone played pretty well. Substitutions, I felt like, were a bit weird again. A friendly, obviously, like England-Scotland is, the result matters in that game, whether it's a charity match with all the old England and Scottish players playing in it or a World Cup final. Every game matters when you play Scotland. You want to win, Scotland want to win. It's intense, and I get it, like England wanted to get a result here. I feel like bringing on Harry Maguire at halftime was very silly, so unnecessary. We spoke about this on the last episode when they announced a squad. England do not have a lot of experience at centre-back. If John Stones is out or Tyrone Mings is out, there's about 80, 90 caps right there just gone. And then it's just Harry Maguire on his own, who is an experienced player. And again, England needed him in the squad because you have Tomori, Lewis Dunk, Mark Gahey, and Levi Colwell was the other one, who combined maybe have 10 caps between them, maybe less. England, just play. There's no need to bring on Harry Maguire when you can bring on a Tomori and give him the experience of an international game in a hostile environment. Because it doesn't get more hostile than Scotland versus England, right? Bring him on then. But instead you bring on Harry Maguire to close out the game, I guess you could say. England would dominate in that match. And Harry Maguire didn't really do anything wrong besides score the own goal, but it's a bit unlucky to his defense as well. But I just feel like, you know, you can not play him. That moment doesn't happen. Then we don't have to hear about Harry Maguire for the rest of the week. Instead, we hear a lot more about Harry Maguire, which we'll get into as well. But that substitution was weird. And then not bringing on anybody else until the 71st minute. You bring on Eze. Yeah, I like that one. Bring on Saka as well at the same time. And then later on, again, you bring on Conor Gallagher at the 84th minute. Give him a match. Give him a game. See what Conor Gallagher can do in a 75-minute match or something like that. And then Callum Wilson at the 84th minute. Why not play Eddie Nketiah? The match is gone when you bring on Callum Wilson. The match is gone. England have won the match. It's 3-1. There's no need for it. There's no need for Callum Wilson to play in this game when you can play Nketiah. Give him the experience. Again, Levi Colwell should have probably come on as well at some point. Maybe could have started him. I don't know. Just seems so odd that you bring in these guys and I'm not saying they have to play, but you have a friendly give them 10 minutes. Give them 10 minutes to show what they can do. Give them that moment. But Southgate just doesn't do that. He's done it a couple of times now. I think he did it with Ivan Toney as well. And it's just such a strange method to the madness. You can give those guys a game. They get the experience. It's beneficial to you. It's beneficial to them. It's beneficial to England overall. Let them play. Let the boys play. Phil, Jude Bellingham, best player on the pitch by a mile. It wasn't even close, to be honest. Got back into his World Cup form for England. What else did we have in this match? Anything? No. That looks good. Scotland's good. Bellingham, good. Everyone played well. Let's talk about the Harry Maguire stuff quickly, because I'm kind of quite, I know I talk about him every time, but quite frankly, I'm a bit sick and tired of just talking about Harry Maguire when he's actually really good for England most of the time. More times than not, he's one of England's best defenders. One of the best defenders at all the tournaments he goes to. So unfortunately, he scored the own goal. Could have been avoided if you just don't play him in that game and give your younger players the experience. Gareth Southgate came out at the end of the match and basically said it's extremely unnecessary for the way people talk about Harry Maguire in the British media, which I agree with. He doesn't even play half the games for United, so it doesn't matter. But you look through and United has been so toxic for Harry Maguire. It was silly for him to be the captain. Paying 80 million for him was always going to be difficult if he didn't get to that form. But it's very hard for players to get to the peak of 80 million. There's not many players who have done it. You go back and look through the players who have, the clubs have paid more than 75 million for, I believe was kind of the mark. 70, 75, somewhere around there. Very few of them actually hit the mark of what they're supposed to be for that team at that moment. Jack Grealish has been pretty solid. Who else is there? Like Kai Havertz never worked out at Chelsea. You could even argue Neymar on and off at PSG, wasn't he? There's a lot of players. Go and look for yourself who just haven't worked out. Kepa is another one. And basically, just this whole situation with Harry Maguire is kind of exhausting now, isn't it? Talk about the same shit every time he's out there. And he puts in a shift for England. And that's basically what Southgate said was he goes out there, plays well. He's been part of one of the most successful England teams, periods, that England have had, which is true. I don't know. I do like how Southgate has always had Maguire's back. Again, I think England need him in the squad because they just don't have enough depth at centre-back, but that's also on Southgate for not playing those players. He deserves to be in the squad more than Jordan Henderson does. I think that's very fair to say and accurate. So we'll see. I'm curious how this next couple of months go for Maguire. Does he get back into the United team? We'll see. I hope he starts doing well, because if we can get anything of some resemblance of what Harry Maguire was during the World Cup era, I know that was like 6 years ago now, during the World Cup, the Euros too, like, hopefully that's good. He's always going to be in this England squad, whether we like it or not. So every time he comes out, we can't just question why Harry Maguire is in the team. We know why he's there, because he's Southgate's boy, and he does well for England. So that's kind of my thoughts on the matter. I have defended Maguire for the majority of his call-ups. I think there was one where I was like, this is questionable, but it's just inevitable now. Him, Calvin Phillips, and Jordan Henderson, likely going to be in the England squad until they, well, Calvin Phillips, we'll see. But Henderson's probably going to be in the squad until he basically retires from international. And Maguire, I don't know. England need him. Southgate loves him. He's going to play, whether we like it or not. So we can kind of put an end to that conversation, I think, is fair. But Levi Colwell should have played. Or Tomori. One of those two. All right. Second last topic I would like to talk about is The Athletic. And just their little thing they put out this morning, I believe it was. So basically, I believe it was just their writers or whoever they asked. They just asked for like best deal of the window, worst deal of the window, managers in trouble. How many is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. We'll go through them. We'll start from the top, which was best signing of the window. James Maddison, 9 votes. Who else was on this list from the Premier League? Declan Rice to Arsenal was on there. He was second. There's a couple here from Europe. Jude Bellingham to Real Madrid. Harry Kane to Bayern Munich. And then there's a few other ones. Diaby to Villa. Ward-Prowse to West Ham. And yeah, the other ones. Van der Veen to Tottenham. Dominic Szoboszlai. Oh my goodness. Why am I even trying to say his name? You know who I mean. Szoboszlai. That's how you say it. Dominic Szoboszlai. Something like that. Anyway, to Liverpool was another one too. And then there's a couple other ones there. I think James Maddison is the fair one. I think he's been outstanding for Tottenham, especially in a period where they lost Harry Kane. I think it's fair to say he was the best transfer of the window. No, he's done nothing to prove anyone wrong that he wasn't a great deal for Tottenham. He fits into that Ange ball very nicely. Can he maintain it? I believe so, because he's basically the heartbeat of Tottenham Football Club right now. So I really like that signing. Declan Rice has been strong. Obviously, Bellingham has been phenomenal for Real Madrid too. I think it's fair to say that Real Madrid would still have great success without Jude Bellingham, but Tottenham probably wouldn't have the same success without James Maddison. That's probably fair to say. Next one, worst signing in the transfer window. Now, this one's not a good look for me because I said this guy might be the transfer of the summer. He's not helped me so far. Kai Havertz, 6 votes for the worst transfer of the window so far. Moses Caicedo, 5. That feels harsh. He's played like 2 games. Mason Mount, 3. Hoyland to United has 1. Cole Palmer, Koulibaly, Endo to Liverpool is 1. And Origi, I don't even think has played a game yet for Forest, has 1 as well. Look, I don't know how to judge this one so far. Havertz probably is the worst signing so far, but what have they played? 4 games? Is it fair to label him so early as a terrible signing? You got to give these guys some time to actually adapt to the team. 65 million over Havertz does seem like a lot at this moment in time. Do I think Havertz can turn it around? Yeah. Can he get back to the Leverkusen form? Probably not anymore. I don't think Kai Havertz is that guy at the moment. I think his confidence is down. Should he have done what Timo Werner's done, where he just went back to the Bundesliga and find success again? That might have been a better play. But I do think Mikel Arteta can get the best out of Kai Havertz. Chelsea's been a shit show for the past 2 or 3 seasons. Kai Havertz was obviously part of it, but he scored that big goal in the Champions League. He has his moments, doesn't he? Just about adapting him and getting his confidence back up. And I do think we'll find some of the old Kai Havertz in there. Again, Moises Caicedo, 2nd. High fee, and that's probably why he's in there. If you go and read it on The Athletic, it does explain it. Feels harsh. Hoyland has played like a half. I don't think that one's very fair either. Cole Palmer's played, again, like 30, 40 minutes. We'll see. We'll see on a lot of these guys. Maybe we'll address this one too in a couple of months. Most surprising, Cole Palmer to Chelsea has 8 votes. Anzu Fati to Brighton. That is a crazy one. 2 votes. Endo to Liverpool. Henderson to the Saudi League. Harry Kane. Koulibaly gone. Mason Mount. Ruben Neves. David Raya. Nuno Tavares. And Sandro Tonali. Those are the most surprising deals, according to The Athletic. The Cole Palmer one was very surprising for this reason. Chelsea love to sell their academy players, but they can go out and buy Cole Palmer for whatever it was. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. They have quality within that academy. We've seen it. We see it across the Premier League, right? Like Mason Mount, obviously, has come through there. Tomori, Tariq Lafferty, kind of in a bit of a slump in his career, I guess you could say. But yeah, that was very surprising. For me, though, it is Ansu Fati who's the most surprising transfer of the window, because this kid, everyone thought he was going to be the next big thing. And he's got a lot of time. What is he? He's not older than 23, I don't think. To go to Brighton from Barcelona is a crazy, crazy deal. If you had told me 10 years ago Brighton would have got a player from Barcelona, probably would have laughed. But this is going to be big. I think he's going to really take off at Brighton because, quite frankly, everybody does. They find a way. So I'll say my most surprising is Ansu Fati, but Cole Palmer's definitely up there. Best window, Brighton was 1 with 5 votes. Arsenal 4, West Ham 2. City had a couple, Forest had a couple, Bournemouth, Chelsea, Liverpool, Newcastle and Spurs all had one. Brighton was very good. However, I'm going to give this one to Tottenham. I'm not sure how we can give the best sign-in to James Maddison, but the best window not to Spurs. Considering they lost Harry Kane as well, I know that position hasn't really been resolved yet. We'll see if Richarlison can turn his career around. Pretty sad images of him crying and then talking about how he needs to get himself help a little bit too, which is good. It's always good to address your mental health, obviously, and get help there. So hopefully Richarlison can find a bit of form here and get a goal for his own sake. So I'll go with Spurs. Van de Ven is a good signing too. So I like that one. The new goalie as well looks very promising. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. So I'm going to go with Tottenham as my best window in the Premier League. The worst window, it's funny, isn't it? Chelsea's first. Everton and Wolves are second with four each. Luton had a couple of votes. And then Burnley, Palace, United and Sheffield United all had one each. I'm going to lay off Chelsea a little bit here. They're an easy target. I think everyone's just going to pick them because they just spend the most money. But Jackson looks good. Sanchez isn't the best sign, I guess you could say. Moses Caicedo will be good because he's just a good football player. I'm going to go Everton. They never address the fact that Dominic Calvert-Lewin is injured all the time. Lost Amari Gray. They're a team that looks bound for relegation. And that's their own fault from poor spending in the past and then not spending when you need to and on good players. They need to get better in a lot of areas. So I'm going to go Everton as the worst transfer window from a Premier League club. What deal do you expect to happen in January? Ivan Toney to leave Brentford and Mo Salah to Saudi Arabia both had three each. Paulinho to Bayern Munich had two, but he just signed a new deal to stay at Fulham, so that's not going to happen. Sanchez to leave had two as well. Donny van de Beek to leave United. Bissouma to leave Spurs. Maguire to leave United. Calvin Phillips to leave City. And they all had one. Ivan Toney, I think, will stay until the summer. Mo Salah, I could see them getting something figured out there for him to stay at Liverpool. I don't see that one happening. I'm going to go with Harry Maguire to leave. I think United eventually will just have to send him out on loan or something like that. I'll go with that one. And I think Sancho will also be gone from United as well. Is the Saudi League good or bad news for football? Nine said good. Six said not sure, four said bad. I'm kind of in the middle. I don't think it's good or bad. I think it's just so new to everyone right now. It's hard to say what it's like. And I know a lot of teams in Europe and players, by the sound of it, are frustrated by the fact of how much money they can kind of throw out there to players and everything. But competition isn't such a bad thing. Maybe it just makes European football a bit better in some ways. I think FIFA will figure out a way to balance it a little bit. I think it's unfair that their transfer window goes until, I believe, September 20th. I'm not sure what it is in January. I think the world of football should just be all on the same day, whenever it may be. It's just equal. You need an equal playing field, right? So I'll say not sure. I'm not sure if it's good, not sure if it's bad. People were saying we'll see a team in the Champions League in a few years. I don't see it. I think Asian football will just get better. And then it'll just build from there and we'll just start watching the Asian Champions League, whatever it's called. Like, a lot of players are now going to Qatar. So Coutinho went to Qatar. Draxler's gone there too. Obviously, these are guys who were supposed to be brilliant and never really panned out for them. We'll see what they can kind of do, but those are some steps as well. So I think that's what it'll be. We won't see a team in the UEFA Champions League. We'll just all start watching the Asian Champions League. Last couple here. There's three left. This one is kind of whatever. Under the radar signing with the biggest impact. James Ward-Prowse is number one. Sure. The one I kind of like on this list, though, is Callum Hudson-Odoi. Let's not forget, Bayern Munich wanted Hudson-Odoi not so long ago. And for Forest to only pay $5 million for a player of that quality is really, really good business. He's obviously going to have to find his feet. But if he can get anything close, and Forrester have got a player on their hands there, especially after losing Brennan Johnson. That could be a good signing for them. The Premier League manager under the most pressure, Sean Dyche, was given 8, Eric Ten Hag 5, Eddie Howe 3, Arteta, company, and O'Neill and Pochettino all given 1. See, Dyche is obviously under pressure, but he hasn't been given the backing from the board, I don't think, on the players he's been able to sign. So I wouldn't give him 8. I would give Eric Ten Hag for the fact of, one, he's arguably the biggest club in the world. One of, at least, top 4 probably. And two, he just, some of the statements he comes out with, and it's just so much controversy around Manchester United all the time. You got the Sancho thing last week, and then there's all the Harry Maguire stuff, along with Mason Greenwood, and now the Anthony situation as well, which is something in its own world. How is it not Ten Hag, the manager under the most pressure? Results are needed at United. They've not had good results since Ferguson left. Last season was brilliant for them. Can they get back on track and figure it out? Probably. I would say he's under the most pressure now, not Sean Dyche. Who will finish in the top 5? This is a predicted top 5 by The Athletic. Is City, Arsenal, Liverpool, Spurs, Manchester United. Probably fair to assume most 5. I think the team I would have fallen out of the top 5 would be United. I think Brighton could push him. Newcastle, if they can get back on track. I think once Newcastle get a good run of form in them, they'll be fine. Villa, I don't see pushing for 5th. And people have Chelsea on here. Not a chance for me. I don't see it. Chelsea are a ways away from competing for Champions League spots. Who will finish in the bottom 3? So we've got 2 more left. Oh, this is the last one, sorry. Luton get the most votes. Sheffield United. Everton is their relegated 3. And then it's Burnley, Wolves, Bournemouth, and Fulham. I think that's probably fair. I did think Burnley would be a bit better. They've been very disappointing. Again, it's still early doors, so we'll see. Luton, though, I don't think they have enough quality. Same with Sheffield United. And Everton, I said at the start of the season they'd be fine before the last game of the season. I think this is going to be an absolute dogfight for them because they don't have enough quality in the team. So I think that's accurate. Luton, Sheffield United, and Everton would be my bottom 3. Going down for now, can they turn it around? Plenty of games left. Luton need to get some good home form in them. So there you go. That's the Athletic's polls. I was just curious. I wanted to go through that. Do that little exercise. Last segment of the day, the Betway Premier League predictions. Brought to you by Betway, obviously. 19+, please bet responsibly. First up, Wolves, Liverpool. Easy one. We're going Liverpool for that one. -225, not a lot of value there. Villa, Palace. I'm going to go with a draw for this one. Palace is such an intriguing team, aren't they? Should be so much better than they are. I'll go with a draw. If not a draw, then Villa are going to win. It is at Villa Park. Fulham, Luton. Fulham, obviously, good team. Kind of in the middle of the park, aren't they? I just got a weird feeling about Luton in this game. And plus 425 is a juicy. So I'm going to go out on this one. I'm going to guess Luton. For the fun of it, plus 425. You can't miss on 425. United, Brighton, at Old Trafford. I'm taking Brighton. They're too good. Too good, and they're not controversial enough to be anyone's hated team, are they? So, United, just a lot of turmoil going on right now. They've not been in great form. United are plus, they're the favourites at plus 115. Brighton plus 200, I'm going with that. Spurs, Sheffield United, I'm going with Spurs at home. West Ham City, I'm going with City away, minus 200. Newcastle, Brentford, I'm going to go with Newcastle at home. Bournemouth, Chelsea. I've got to go with Chelsea, I think. They've been okay to start the season. They got to get a result eventually. Minus 130. Everton, Arsenal. Arsenal away, minus 200. Forest, Burnley, Monday Night Football. We'll go with Forest plus 115. I think that's my bet of the week, is Forest to win at home at the City Ground. If you got any bets, let me know. But it's basically a wrap on this week's show. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week, probably. Hopefully. I'll get back on track. But yes, have a good rest of the week. Enjoy your weekend, and See you later.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.